All right. Yeah, we covered the first chapter of Numbers in our last lesson. Tonight we'll go into lesson number two, or chapter two, rather. And so, Numbers 2, and in verse 1, the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of their father's house, far off about the congregation of the tabernacle, rather, the congregation shall they pitch. Now, this is an ensign or a standard or a flag or a banner by which they were known, and we have one too. It is Christ. We're always identified with Him. And so we find that we pitch our ensign, as it were, against the enemy. We know that, let Satan know that we are indeed a child of God. We are His property and in His camp. And then we find in verse 3, on the east side toward the rising of the sun shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. And Nashon, the son of Amminadab, shall be captain of the children of Judah. Now, we're going to find how that God placed three tribes on each side of the camp. There were 12 tribes of Israel and four sides of the camp. So there were three tribes set on each side of the camp. And so we find that they had a certain order about things. And this is one thing that I want to make clear in our lessons. Some people get the idea that just because that we are not formal, and because that there is no organization as far as man-made heads and so forth, that things are pretty much topsy-turvy and so forth. Some people think that that the more uncoordinated a meeting is, the more led by the Spirit that it is. And this is not true at all. Find that God has a certain order. It is one thing to be a part of organization. It is another to know the order of God. And so we find that God was very much in order and had Israel very much in order at this particular place. Now, the Apostle Paul describes the condition that I'm speaking of when people would come to meetings. He says, now, one has a song, and one has a prayer, and one has this, and one has that, and everyone just does his own thing whenever he gets ready to. Well, this is not being decent and in order. And so that is not really correct to say that the Spirit is leading when everything is all a mass of confusion. But God does have an order, and so we find here that He is very orderly about the children of Israel. And we'll find also that the three tribes, which are on each side of the camp, are actually called by one name. I'll point that out in just a moment. But first, in verse 3, we find the captain of the host of Judah would be Nashon, the son of Abinadab. Nashon means diviner or discernment. Now, all of these leaders of the tribes in chapter 2 show us leaders which must be present in our lives today in order for everything to be decent and in order. These men or these leaders must be also present in our lives. So we need discernment. We need to be able to know and to tell the difference between right and wrong, even in religious senses. And then he is the son of Amminadab, which means people of a willing giver. Well, we need to realize of what stock we are. We are the people of God. He is the willing giver, as we find in Romans 8. How shall he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? And so we find here Amminadab brought out. And then verse 5, those that do pitch next to him of the tribe of Issachar, and their captain is Nethaneel. And his name means gift of God. Gift of God. And how we need to realize this particular leader in our lives, to recognize the gifts of God in Christ Jesus, of course. Verse 7, then the tribe of Zebulun, and Eliab the son of Helon shall be captain of the children of Zebulun. Eliab means my God is Father. And so very important to realize that my God is Father. People place God so very far off from them many times, and it's God this and God that. And how we need a very intimate relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. And so bring him near unto us. Well, this man is the son of Helon, which couples very closely with our father, means very strong. It speaks of having a real childlike faith and reverence and trust in our father, knowing that he is very strong. Whenever a child is very small, he thinks his father can do just about anything. He is looked up to by that small child. Well, we do the same with God and learn more and more that he can do all things. Earthly fathers may not always live up to their young son's expectations, but God is very strong and, of course, able to handle any problem that we would come up with. All right, so these three are on one side of the camp. That is Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Notice they, verse 9, all that were numbered in the camp of Judah were 100,000 and 80,000, 6,400 throughout their armies. These shall first set forth. And so these were placed on one side of the camp. So you might find some place and jot that down that Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun were in the camp of Judah. All right, on the south side, verse 10, shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben and their armies. And between verses 10 and 16, you will find that Reuben, Simeon, and Gad were in the camp of Reuben. All right, in verse 10, the leader in Reuben is Eliezer. It's in the latter part of verse 10. His name means, "My God is a rock." Very strong and very established, and one that is we can surely depend upon. Verse 12 is Simeon. The captain of Simeon's host is Shalumiel. It means at peace with God. At peace with God. And how wonderful to be able to come unto God knowing that there is nothing between me and him. Knowing that we have every right and that we come boldly to the throne of grace. I heard a very interesting illustration the other day. I thought it was very good. Someone speaking about coming boldly to the throne of grace and said sometimes we sneak up on the throne of grace. And I thought that was rather appropriate because we really do. We sneak up on the throne of grace rather than coming boldly under the throne of grace. And so as we are at peace with God, of course, we come very boldly unto him. Verse 14 is the tribe of Gad. And the captain of this one is Eliasaph, the son of Reuel. Eliasaph means God will add. And how many avenues that we can open up in that name. God will add victory after victory after victory. He will add blessing. He will add spiritual growth. He will add everything that we need. And to always realize that there is more for us, even as the Apostle Paul says, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, meaning that God is going to add even more unto me. And he is the son of Reuel, which means associate with God. And this is so very important to have these two men together, that God will add unto us as we associate with God. So very important for us to realize that. All right, the next one is on the west side of the camp in verse 18. Verse 19, his host and those that were numbered of them were 40,500 and so on. This one is Ephraim, the camp of Ephraim. And the three tribes in the camp of Ephraim were Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. By the way, in verse 18, Elishama is the captain here, and his name means, "My God is hearer." My God is hearer. In other words, he always hears when I come unto him. His ears are open. Verse 20, the captain of Manasseh is Gamaliel. In verse 20, the latter part means, "My recompense is God." My recompense is God. Now this simply means that we find God gives us our reward. Sometimes we begin to look to people for our rewards, and we're very sorely disappointed many, many, many times. But to realize that my recompense is God, that he is the one that satisfies me, and he is the one that learned to be content with. Verse 22, the tribe of Benjamin is the next one. The captain of this host is Abidan. It means father of a judge. Father of a judge. And he was the son of Gideoni, which means my cutter down. My cutter down. Well, the father of the judge would, of course, point out God himself, because Jesus is the only judge. We find that that we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we know the father of the judge, as it were. But notice his he was the son of Gideon, and my cutter down, which simply tells us of the victory that God has. We will see Gideon on over in the book of Judges has the same meaning. It tells us of cutting down the things of the flesh, cutting down the enemies which we would face. The last set of, or the last camp that is given is verse 25. This is the camp of Dan. And in this camp there is Dan in verse 25, Asher, verse 27, and Naphtali in verse 29. And in the tribe of Dan, the captain of the host is Ahiezer, which means brother of health. Brother of health. And he was the son of Amishaddai, which means people of the Almighty. Well, we can take many different applications of these names also, especially the brother of health, meaning Christ himself, of course, and then the son of Amishaddai, people of the Almighty, realizing that we indeed are the people of God, people of that are owned by the Almighty. In verse 27, the camp of Asher, the captain of this host is Pagiel. And Pagiel means events of God. It is very interesting that this that Pagiel should be associated with Asher, because it tells us to be happy with the events of God. In other words, Asher, the happy one, has the events of God to his captain. And as the Apostle Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, regardless of the events of God that come our way. Learn to be happy with them. Learn to be content with them and to rejoice in them. Verse 29, the tribe of Naphtali, and the captain of Naphtali is Ahira. And that means brother of evil. And this seems so strange that brother of evil should come in here and be a captain. But I think that it is very significant that he is here, because it simply means we learn to know evil just like a brother. In other words, learn to recognize evil, not as some stranger that we don't know who he is or that he's coming upon us, but to know evil and to be able to shun it, of course. Verse 34, the children of Israel did all that Moses said, and they pitched by their standards. They set forward everyone after their families according to the house of their fathers. And then chapter 3, find in verse 9, thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. And you shall appoint Aaron and his sons. They shall wait on their priest's office, and the stranger that comes nigh shall be put to death. Now, here God is giving more order, and he is very jealous concerning the priestly order. There is not just everyone that can come in there. They must be a Levite. And as we find here that Aaron and his sons are to wait upon their priestly office. That word wait means to guard or to hedge about. It means that they were responsible for that office, and they had to be very careful about what went on there. And so God was very jealous over the things that that prevailed there in the priestly aspect of Israel. And anyone that came nigh, he shall be put to death. We find verse 11, the Lord said to Moses, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that opens the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord. Now here is where that God trades all of the firstborn for the tribe of Levi. You will remember that when they came out of Egypt, all of the firstborn were under the sentence of death. But God redeemed them with blood. And therefore, he says, the firstborn are mine, regardless of whether they be man or beast, they are mine. Well, at this point, he trades all of those for the one tribe of Levi. And Levi is separated unto God to be a minister or to be a help for Aaron and his sons. And we will find more about their ministry in just a moment. But nevertheless, they belong to God, and this is why that we will find on over here that Levi never did get an inheritance of land just specifically for them. In other words, not like all the rest of the tribes. We will find that they did receive very much, but it was not just an inheritance the way that the rest of the tribes of Israel received. In verse 25, we find that there were three different families in the tribe of Levi, and each one of them had something different to do. Verse 25, the charge of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle of the congregation shall be the tabernacle, the tent, the covering thereof, the hanging, the tabernacle of the congregation, and the hangings, the court, and the curtains, and so on. So Gershon, it means outcasts. And the job that they had was to take care of all of the coverings that were in the tabernacle and in the court. That would be all of these coverings round about the outside. It would be all of those that are draped over the tabernacle proper there. Like these hangings for the gates out here at the outer court, and then the veils on the inside and so forth. These were in the charge of Gershon. Now, that's all they had to take care of. They were not to take care of anything else. Well, this is the thing that we want to point out, is that God has different ministries for each one. We all do not have the same ministry. And we get into trouble when we try to take someone else's ministry. Now, we will find that done tonight in our lesson, that there was one of these sons of Levi that thought he just had to have someone else's ministry, and he got in trouble for it. So God knows what we can do. He knows our abilities, and he knows what we are suited for. So we believe God for the ministry that he wants for me, and to be very much content and to wait on that ministry, as we find previous to this. All right, the next one in verse 30, the chief of the house of the father of the families of the Kohathites, and their charge in verse 31 is the ark, the table, the candlestick, the altars, the vessels, and so forth. So Kohath, which means obedient, they are to be in charge of the furniture. The furniture, which is all of those different pieces that we noticed. And then verse 36, under the custody of the charge of the sons of Merari shall be the boards and the bars and the pillars and the sockets. And so Merari means bitter or unhappy. And it is very fitting that they should bear the burdens. They were the ones that took care of the pillars. They were the ones that took care of all of these boards, bars, and so forth. And so they were the burden bearers. Now it took all three of these to accomplish what had to be done there. And so every member of the body of Christ is important. So it is rather foolish, as the Apostle Paul points out, that we need all of those different parts of the body. So it is very important for us to abide in the place wherein God has placed us, not to think, well, I'm a foot, but I think that hand's not doing so very good, so I'm going to go up there and help him out a little bit. Well, you see, you'd have some kind of a catastrophe if that happened in your own body. Well, such things happen, of course, in the body of Christ, and it's no good. So to believe God for the ministry that he has for us, and then to wait on that particular ministry. I might add that these three sons and their ministries bring out a very wonderful truth over in the New Testament. It corresponds to 1 Corinthians 1:30, where we find that Christ is made unto us wisdom, even righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now these three sons are found over there. First of all, Kohath corresponds with redemption, in that he has charge of the furniture, which is located here. Now, all of these, you see, they set forth Christ. And this is what we do. Whenever we are faithful to our ministry that God has given to us, we set forth Christ. And this is what we want to do. This is the very essence and the purpose of any ministry, is to set forth Jesus Christ. And so keep that in mind. It's not for us, but it is to always and supremely put Jesus first. So Kohath, by taking care of the furniture, declared Christ as redemption for us. And then Merari is the next one. He took care of all of these hangings and so forth, and this simply means that these poles and the boards and the pillars, all of this supported those hangings and those curtains. Well, this simply tells us that Merari took care of the sanctification part of it. In other words, exhibiting or manifesting the righteousness. So Christ is made unto you righteousness, sanctification, or redemption, so forth. The next one is Gershon. And he had charge of the coverings. And this tells us it corresponds with righteousness, which is given in 1 Corinthians 1:30. Coupling these two together, it might seem a little confusing. I hope not, but Merari and Gershon. Merari's poles and boards held up Gershon's coverings, is what it all boils down to. Well, this is what sanctification is. Sanctification is just a manifestation of the righteousness of Christ. That's what it means to be sanctified. Sometimes people get the idea that they have to act real pious and holy, and then they're sanctified. That's not so. We find that sanctification is just a manifestation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Well, in all three of these, then, we find that is brought to the front, that these who had charge of the poles and so forth, they manifested the righteousness or the coverings. Well, we must go on. In chapter 4, we find some details of service. And again, I want to point out that God is very much in order. It's not just left to these men to think how it should be done and to do the way they feel like it when they get up. If they get up in the morning and don't feel very good, well, you slop it around. There were very specific details of service, and these had to be carried out to the very letter. God was very jealous, again, because all of it pointed forward unto Christ and his offering on the cross. So even that which figured redemption is guarded very much by God. All right, going on into chapter 4, we find in verse 13, they were even to get down to the point where there was a very special way of taking care of the ashes. Well, when we understand what it means, well, we know why that God was so particular. In verse 13, they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth thereon. So they couldn't just take a shovel and dig it out here and flop it out and make some more room for something else. This was very important because it shows us Christ. Taking away the ashes from the altar, of course, that is Christ as the sacrifice. That is, he gave his life and he was burned up unto God. And there were the ashes. But those ashes were spread on a purple cloth. And purple in the Scripture always speaks of royalty. And so we find here that Christ reigns as a result of Calvary. In other words, sacrifice gives way to the King. And we know that to be true, how that Jesus died there on the cross of Calvary. But those ashes didn't remain in that place of deadness, did not remain there in a dead heap, as it were, but they were wrapped, as it were, in purple cloth, and Christ is now ready to reign because of that offering. Verse 22, take the sum of the sons of Gershon throughout the houses of their families, fathers and their families, from 30 years old and upward until 50. Now, all of these were done, I believe, the same way you read that they served from the time that they were 30 years old until the time that they were 50 years old, a 20-year span there. I believe that Aaron's ministry was limited to exactly the same thing. This is one of the points of contrast that Paul goes into over in Hebrews, where he says that Aaron's priesthood was a temporary priesthood. They just learned, acted as priests for a period of time. But Christ has an eternal priesthood. So, like it is here, it'd be 20 years that they were able to minister. And so they were numbered. Now, they were not numbered before because God was numbering the warriors. But here they are numbered because that they are appointed unto service. And so it is with the rest of those sons that are in the tribe of Levi. Verse 49, we find.